Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. This is a different show today because we've had lots of viewers send in questions. So the whole half hour is answering your Bible questions. So before we start, would you pray with me? Father, as we examine these some difficult questions here, we pray your Holy Spirit would guide us into your truth. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hit it, Mona.
All right, our first letter from a viewer. My husband is not a believer and doesn't go to church, but he found a Methodist church recently which he loves and has started to go every Sunday. The woman pastor does not believe Jesus is the only way of salvation, and they are pro-gay. Should I attend this church with my husband? I am not able to get out on my own, so it is either that or not go anywhere. What would you advise me?
This is the United Methodist Church. It went pro-gay about 2 years ago, and now they have practicing homosexual pastors, transgender pastors. I don't believe in women preaching over men, 1 Timothy chapter 2. So this poor gal is kind of stuck. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, maybe the Lord would have you go there and try to be a light in the darkness. On the other hand, I wish she had a third alternative, like maybe there's a Metro Mobility van that'll pick her up and take her to a good church. But, you know, she wants to be submissive to her husband. I said, well, God bless you for that. One thing she could say, do you mind, honey, if I go to a different church? And, you know, but she's being very sensitive, and I trust the Lord will guide her.
Yes, I hope so, too.
Yeah.
Here's another letter from a viewer. I believe infant baptism is seen as a dedication, not a saving act. The individual still needs to make a personal commitment to Christ.
Well, yes, we all, I mean, I don't know any church that believes as long as you're baptized as a baby, you can grow up and reject Christ and go to heaven. Mm-hmm. I don't know any church that believes that. But there's more to baptism than just symbolism. The 1 Peter chapter 3 says, talking about Noah and the ark and how people are saved from the water through the ark, mm-hmm. Baptism now, corresponding to this, saves you. It says that. But then it says, not the removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a clear conscience through Jesus Christ. So it's not just the water that saves you, mm-hmm. but it does say baptism saves you. What I think, the way I put it together, what saves you and I is the death of Christ. But Paul says in Romans chapter 6, we are baptized into the death of Christ, and our old Adam is put to death, and we come forth a new creature. So, does baptism save you? Yes, in a sense it does. Ultimately, it's the death of Christ that saves us. So, there you go.
Okay.
And I know we got lots of people that don't agree with that that are believers in Christ, but that's the way I understand it. Yeah.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
We need to believe in Jesus to be saved, but doesn't the devil believe Jesus is the Son of God and that He rose from the dead?
Yeah. The devil believes Jesus rose from the dead. The devil believes Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but he's not saved. Why? Because he believes about Jesus. Mm-hmm. He doesn't believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. If you remember the story I've told many times about my old professor, he sent his dad a ticket to come visit him in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And father in California said, I don't believe in those airplanes. But then one day he got on the plane and came visit. And the professor said, before that day, Dad believed all about airplanes, mm-hmm. but finally he believed in an airplane. Mm-hmm. He put his trust on an airplane. What you have to do to be saved is you don't believe about Jesus. You put your trust in Him. You believe in Him for your salvation.
A big difference.
Yes.
Enjoy your teaching, but I feel like I need a church. Do you currently pastor a church in Minneapolis?
I did for 28 years. Mm-hmm. I was at Hope Lutheran Church, yeah. And now I just do this TV show, which is more than enough, thank you. I don't preach at a church anymore. I just do the TV show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a sin not to go to church when you are sick? I think one should stay home. What do you think?
I think if you're sick, you stay home. Mm-hmm. Nothing's wrong with that. God understands that. I think there's when you're well, though, Hebrews chapter 10, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves with other Christians. So.
And no need to go when you're sick so you spread germs,
that's right? That's right.
What does the Bible teach about cremation? Is it a sin? I never thought about cremation till the high cost of funerals happened.
Yep, and we get this question so often, mm-hmm. and I've answered it many times, but one more time. The history of the church has been kind of against cremation, that, you know, we want to kind of be a witness that God is going to raise our bodies, mm-hmm. and so we don't burn our bodies. Now, will God raise the burned bodies? Of course he will. If you get cremated, you'll still be raised, but just kind of the symbolism and throughout the... Now, even the Catholic Church, though, no longer says you can't be cremated. And in Minnesota now, and I don't know about the rest of the country, but there's more cremations than there are regular burials. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to... I'm not saying you're sinning if you get a... It never says in the Bible, if you get cremated, you're sinning. So I still, even though I'm a cheap guy, I'm still wanting the normal burial. Mm-hmm. I think it's good to go to a funeral and look into the face of a dead person. It reminds us that's going to happen to me. I need to be reminded of that. So I want to have a normal, regular service with my body there.
Okay.
That's me. Okay.
I have so loved my pets. My question is, will I see my pets in heaven? Jesus will ride on a white horse when he returns from heaven. So isn't it possible there are animals in heaven?
And you, before the cameras rolled, you brought up the lion laying down with the lamb mm-hmm. in the new kingdom. Well, Mona, people aren't going to like this, but I'm giving my opinion. If it helps you to believe that Fifi is in heaven, okay. But humans have eternal souls. Mm-hmm. I don't know of anywhere what the Bible says that animals do. So will you see your pets in heaven? I'm guessing. I don't think so, but I could be wrong. Maybe Fifi will be on your lap in heaven. But and the thing about lions laying down at the lamb and Jesus riding a white horse, I think that's symbolic stuff going on, that there's going to be a peaceable kingdom and Jesus will conquer. Whether there'll be a literal horse, you know, maybe there will, but I think a lot of that is from Revelation, which is a vision and is mm-hmm. to be taken symbolically. So that's my opinion. And people get so upset when I teach this, but maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
And many people are hoping you're wrong. Jesus died on the cross for every soul. So why do some churches not allow non-members to take communion? To turn people away from the Lord's Supper just doesn't seem right.
Right. And all various denominations have mm-hmm. various practice on this. Some churches are way too loosey-goosey. You want communion? Come on up. We don't turn anyone away. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. You're supposed to repent of your sin. Mm-hmm. Paul says examine yourself before you take communion. We're supposed to believe in Christ's bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ. If you don't believe in Christ, don't come up for communion. Mm-hmm. So some churches are way too loosey and goosey, but some churches are ridiculously strict. And that if you don't believe exactly like they do, I mean exactly, they don't want you coming up for communion. I think that's overdoing it. I'll tell you what I used to do. There was a communion service, and I would say, well, here's what we believe at this church. If that's your belief in Christ, come on up. If that's not where you're at or you're in living in sin and you're not mm-hmm. wanting to repent, don't come up. And I'm doing that not because I'm mean, but 1 Corinthians 11 says if you abuse the Lord's Supper, these people, in 1 Corinthians 11, they were getting drunk on Holy Communion. Mm-hmm. God was killing some of them. Mm-hmm. So we're not doing this out of meanness. We're trying to protect the Lord's Supper and people.
So should you abide by those church rules?
You know, I think you probably should.
Okay.
I'm a Lutheran. Catholics don't want to give Lutherans communion, so I don't barge up there and take communion mm-hmm. to the Catholic Church. I want to respect their view. So.
Okay. My neighbor gave me a prescription to the Daily Word. She gifted it to me for 5 years. I heard you say something is wrong with the Daily Word and we should read the Daily Bread instead. I did read the Daily Word and they emphasize that we are all divine. I have never heard that in my church. Can you clarify that for me?
Yes. The Daily Bread is a wonderful daily devotional book. I highly recommend it. The Daily Word is a cult. It comes from what's called the Unity Church, a New Age church. And the teaching of a New Age church is we are all God. We are all the Christ consciousness. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jesus had the Christ consciousness, but we're just like he came first, but we're all just like, I mean, I can remember years ago, Shirley MacLaine on the Oprah Winfrey Show saying, Oprah, be still and know that you are God. So, stay away from the Unity Church, the New Age movement, and the Daily Word devotional book.
Okay.
There you go.
Do Lutherans believe in confession?
Actually, we do. Confession is when you confess your sins to another person and they assure you that through Christ your sins are forgiven. We don't use it nearly as much as we should. I think there's a lot of healing in it. Catholics use it a lot more. The Orthodox Church use it a lot more. But they do have confession and absolution in the Lutheran Church, in the Episcopal Church. I just wish people used it more.
Okay.
I think if you know, I feel bad for people who have never talked to anybody about their sins. Hmm. That's too lonely. Mm-hmm. You get more victory when you get prayer and counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I am disappointed with what my pastor is teaching about Christians staying out of government. He thinks we should just obey the government because of Romans 13 and not get too involved in things. But as a Christian, I feel it's our civic responsibility to speak truth and try to turn our culture around. Am I wrong?
Yeah. I don't get in the pulpit and tell people who to vote for. Mm-hmm. I do get in the pulpit and say, remember unborn children when you vote. Mm-hmm. Remember protecting traditional marriage when you vote. Remember not promoting marijuana use when you vote, this kind of thing. So I think you can do that. And it does say in Romans 13, and Paul was saying this of the Roman government, that killed Christians. He said, submit to the Roman government because God has instituted government to keep order in society. Mm-hmm. So overwhelmingly, we are to obey the government. Now, there are exceptions. In Acts chapter 5, the Jewish authorities were telling Peter, you cannot talk about Christ anymore. Mm-hmm. Shut up about him. And Peter said, we must obey God rather than man. Mm-hmm. So it's not like there is an exception sometimes, but overwhelmingly, read Romans 13, we're to obey the government. Yeah.
Okay. I'm having trouble believing God has forgiven me for a lie I told years ago. Do I need to go tell the person I lied in order for God to forgive me?
I want to say that your salvation doesn't depend on that. Your salvation depends on Christ, your faith in him. There are times I think it's probably wise not to try to track somebody down. On the other hand, I think there are times the Holy Spirit will lead you. I mean, I had to do it once when I was in high school. I stole some stuff, and a couple years later I got convicted, went back and returned the money. And you could tell it had an impact on the president of Montgomery Ward department store because he said, you must be a Christian. I said, yeah. My parents are Christians. You could tell by the way he said it that he wasn't, but this was making him think. Mm-hmm. So sometimes God will have you go back and restore. But on the other hand, when Paul got converted after he persecuted Christians, if he would have had to go back and apologize to everybody, he never would have been able to be an apostle. Mm-hmm. So some of this you got to get counseling on, have somebody pray with you about it, get good input, and there you go.
Or just know that the Lord will forgive you
ask. My salvation does not depend upon me asking everybody I've ever sinned against to forgive me. Mm-hmm. It depends on Christ's death on the cross.
Amen.
Yeah.
Why do you wear a clergy collar if you were not a Catholic priest? I think you are being deceptive.
Yeah, I get this fairly often, not a lot, but Pastor, you know, why are you wearing the Catholic clergy collar? This is not the Catholic. This was invented in the 1850s by a Scottish Presbyterian. Catholics use it, the Catholic priests use it, but so do Lutherans, so do Episcopalians, so do, some Presbyterians.
So it's not exclusively for Catholics.
It is not.
Okay.
No.
When you mention cults, why don't you ever mention the Catholic Church? I believe the Pope is opposed to Christ and Catholicism has led many astray.
This is a hard one to answer because I have problems with Catholicism. I'm a Lutheran. I believe we're saved by grace alone and not by our good works. I believe I don't pray to the saints. I don't pray to Mary. I believe I can directly ask God to forgive me. I don't have to go to a priest necessarily to be forgiven. So I have problems with Catholicism. I don't put Catholicism in the same boat as Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness. Those groups deny the Trinity. Catholics believe in one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They believe Jesus died on the cross for our salvation. They believe he rose from the dead. So I do have problems with Catholicism. I still think there are lots of Catholics who are going to heaven and they know the Lord.
And they love the Lord. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a Lutheran. A lot of Lutherans don't know the Lord.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So just the fact that you've got a label doesn't mean you're going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here's another letter from a viewer. Pastor Brock, you should become a Catholic priest. The Catholic Church is the true church founded by Jesus himself. We are not heretical like some of the Protestant churches I have heard you preach against. Come home to the Catholic Church.
Okay. Well, if I can't be a Catholic. I don't believe in purgatory. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in indulgences. I believe it's clearly we're saved by grace alone. Mm-hmm. I also believe grace changes your life. Mm-hmm. You can't live a life like the devil and expect. But we're saved by God's grace, and mm-hmm. so because those things are precious to me, and I think the Catholic Church muddles a lot of that, I can't be a Catholic. No, the Scriptures are our final authority, not the Pope.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe it is proper for Christians to hope for eternal life, but not to be too sure. Only God can know for sure, and people should not be arrogant.
Well, we shouldn't be arrogant, but the Bible says you can know if you're saved.
Right.
1 John 5:13, that verse changed my life when I was 20 years old. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Not hope maybe. Mm-hmm. But because Christ died for me and he promises believers salvation, Mona, I know I'm saved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've known that since I was 20 years old. There are days I doubt it, mm-hmm. but I fight those doubts and I claim 1 John 5:13. I know through Christ's blood my sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. So, but now, I don't do it arrogantly because it doesn't depend on me.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on him.
Amen.
You know, if it depended on me, then I'm bragging. Well, but it doesn't. It depends on him.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been told I need to repent to be saved. How do I know if I have truly repented?
To repent means to change your mind. It leads to a change in behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to repent. And you can't live like you used to and call yourself a Christian. But hallelujah, it never says you have to perfectly repent.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all still sin. We won't be perfect till heaven. So I need to daily repent of my sin. Mm-hmm. It's not something I did 20 years ago. Every day I repent of my sin. So we do need to repent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even those sins that you don't remember, God will forgive you?
Absolutely. If I have to confess all my sins to be saved, I don't know half of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember a lot of them. Again, my salvation depends on Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, Acts 16. It doesn't say repent perfectly. You do need to repent.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say believe perfectly. We all have our doubts. But mm-hmm. Christ is what saves us. Yeah.
Okay. I have never heard my pastor mention hell. Do all denominations believe in hell?
Well, they're on the books of most denominations, like
mm-hmm.
United Methodists, ELCA, Lutherans, Presbyterian Church USA, United Church of Christ, United Methodists, all, I think, on the books believe in hell. But you've got the former head bishop of the ELCA Lutheran Church telling a Chicago newspaper she thinks hell is empty. Hell might exist, but nobody goes there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus
mm-hmm.
talked about people weeping and gnashing their teeth
mm-hmm.
in hell. So on the books, some of these churches still have it on the books, but you have bishops and mm-hmm. pastors who never preach on it because mm-hmm. they don't believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty
so
sad.
That's the mixed bag.
Some Satan worshipers told me that while I'm bored up in heaven, they'll be having fun down in hell. How do I respond to that?
I remember a friend of mine years ago, and she worked in a Chicago theater, and some of the fellow actors were Satan worshipers, and that's what they said to her. And, you know, Jesus called the devil the father of lies,
mm-hmm.
and he was telling them, follow me, you'll have fun with me, you don't want to be bored like she is up in heaven. If they think they're going to have fun in hell, think again. If you think heaven's going to be boring, think again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's, exactly.
Yeah.
Viewer question. In the end, is it already known by God who is going to heaven and who is not?
Well, God knows everything. Isaiah 46, I know the end from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So God knows everything that ever is going to happen. So, yeah, he knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If everyone is predestined, why evangelize?
Yeah, I do believe in predestination because the Bible teaches it. Ephesians chapter 1, Romans chapters 9 and 11 and various other places. Now, yeah, so you get, if everybody is predestined, why send the missionaries out? Because that's the way God has chosen to get his chosen ones chosen.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, yeah, God knows if you're going to accept Christ, but he didn't do that by zapping you. He brought you a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
He brought you a grandma. Somebody shared Christ with you because that's the way God, not only does God predestine the end, he predestines the means to the end,
mm-hmm.
which is the preaching of the gospel and evangelism, which is why we evangelize. And Mona, I don't know if you're predestined or not. So we are to preach the gospel to everybody and then let God do what he wills. It says in the book of Acts that the apostles were preaching, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed.
Hmm.
So that's what we do. We share Christ with everybody, and then God does what he wills.
He takes it from there.
Yeah.
You had a question from someone who was divorcing her husband because he was an adulterer and also addicted to porn. You made the comment that she should stay with him and that if they do get divorced, she should remain single. However, Matthew 19:9 says that she is free to remarry, doesn't it?
Matthew 19:9, Jesus said, "Whoever divorces a wife and marry another, except for porneia, which means sexual immorality, you're committing adultery." And I want to tell you, it's called the Matthean exception clause. If you read Mark and Luke, there's no exception.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say except for; it just says. So I'll tell you how I put this together, and I'll just encourage you: read on your own. Matthew chapter 19 and 1 Corinthians, Matthew 19 and 1 Corinthians 7, and then do your best. Because some of this is a little difficult. But what I encourage people to do, if you're married, stay married. And Paul says, though, in 1 Corinthians 7, if you do get divorced, stay single.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if your husband cheated on you, okay, you can divorce him. That's not plan A. I hope you can forgive him and he'll get help and repent. But if it has to be, okay. But Paul says, then stay single. 1 Corinthians 7. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the Psalms, the writers sometimes complain and ask God, how long? But you don't see them raging in a sinful way at God. Would you like to clarify that being mad at God is indeed a sin to be repented of?
Okay. The Old Testament prophets, some of them got really kind of fed up with God.
Mm-hmm.
How long, O Lord? Why are you letting the wicked people win and the good people lose? And yeah, so is it a sin? I think it's probably a sin not to be honest with God.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got those feelings, talk to him about it. Now, should we rage against God? And should that be my lifestyle? That would be a sin.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing's wrong with getting honest with God. In fact, I know an old pastor who said, when you're down and out or whatever, just take out the book of Psalms and read a psalm out loud. Some of those psalms are people getting very honest with God.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing's wrong with that. That's fine. But do we want to rage against God throughout mm-hmm. our life? Absolutely not. That would be a sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he knows.
He
anyway,
knows.
Our
he knows. He, yeah, might as well tell him.
I have a friend who is worried about the end times. She is so worried she does not want to leave town. She listens to modern-day prophets on YouTube every day. As a Christian, I feel we should be ready for the second coming, but I don't think he wants us to worry about it. Your thoughts?
Yes, I'm concerned too. I have a friend whose spouse is so caught up in the end times stuff. It's just... it's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these people on TV, they know exactly how the second coming is going to happen and when it's going to happen and who's going to... And you know, Jesus said, you know, that's not for you to know.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked Martin Luther back 500 years ago, if you knew the second coming of Christ was tomorrow, what would you do? And he said, I'd plant a tree, meaning I want God to see me busy doing good kingdom work on earth instead mm-hmm. of just looking up in the clouds all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about a person continuing to attend and support a United Methodist Church since they have decided to ordain practicing gays? I was raised Lutheran, but now I am a member of a Methodist church in North Carolina, and I am troubled by the liberalism.
Mona, I was in the ELCA Lutheran denomination for many years.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the conventions every year, and we said, why are we paying for abortions with offering dollars? Why is the bishop's office promoting homosexuality mm-hmm. again? And we lost and lost. And finally, they went ahead and ordained practicing homosexuals, and they keep paying for abortions. Mm-hmm. So that I finally came back to my church and said, let's get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And we joined the Association Free Lutherans, or you can join the Missouri Synod of Lutherans. Lots of good options if you're a Lutheran. If you're a Presbyterian, you leave the PCUSA, you join the PCA. So I think I feel bad for this woman. I'd leave the United mm-hmm. Methodist Church. 2 years ago, they voted to ordain homosexuals and transgenderism, etc. So I'd leave those churches.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to give your money to that, and you don't want to promote that denomination.
Yeah.
There was a time years ago when you could make a case for staying and fighting, but once they go to a certain point, it's kind of over.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah. Right. Why support that?
Yeah.
Right? Here's another letter from a viewer.
I'm going to stop you, Mona, because we got a minute 30 seconds left. And everybody, I just want to say a big thank you, because we've been on the air nationally now for 15 years. We were on just in Minnesota for, I don't know, 20 years. But then 15 years ago, we went national. And you help us preach the gospel. So if God, just pray for us. If God nudges you to help us reach the lost, pastorstudy.org, you can support us there, or there'll be address at the end. But just, Mona, we've been doing this show for so long now, and we reach so many more people than mm-hmm. we used to. So pray for us, and it's expensive to buy all this airtime all over the country. So if the Lord nudges you, support us. If you want to see this show again or any of our TV shows, go to pastorstudy.org. You can watch all of our TV shows there for free. And if you have a question, feel free to send it in, because we do what we just did. We take your questions and we answer them. But again, people say, we get comments, Pastor, we watch your show every week,
mm-hmm.
and we pray for the pastor's study. And we just so appreciate that you stand for Scripture and you're not compromising like a lot of pastors do these days. So just thank you, everybody, and God bless you, and have a wonderful week. And how do you want to wrap it up there, Mona?
With Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Thanks for joining us today. God bless you. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.